Are you sleeping using a sleeping pill and you'd like not to do that? Or are you perhaps sleeping on an extra couch or in a spare bedroom and you'd like to sleep in your own bed? Well, if any of this sounds familiar to you, well, then this class is perfect for you because we are going to talk about the three steps to liberated sleep. And I'm borrowing this term from our friend Trevor Youngquist, by the way, who has a whole program called Liberated Sleep. But I thought it was the perfect word here. And you'll see that when I say liberated, it can mean like, okay, I'm liberated from this, sleeping pill, or I'm liberated from the extra bedroom. But you'll see it actually has much more to do with things inside us, the liberation, when we were liberated from our own judgment and from the inner conflict. And that's really what sets us free, and that applies to sleep as well. Anyways, that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to get quite practical in today's episode, because these three steps, over the course of years, I found they were very logical, actually, very logical way to teach someone who has had this conflict of, taking a pill or sleeping on a couch or something like that. So, anyways, we're going to get into that in a second. I just want to share that I have a new microphone here. I hope the sound is going to be much, much better. So let me know if it's not, or if you have any suggestions about that, of course. And then, as I promised Friday, an update on the sale. Tales of Courage is going on sale because I think it's my best book and it's not gonna at all the same attention as my other books. So I actually just a few hours ago changed the pricing to $4.99 for the ebook and $9.99 for the paperback. And this is going to be for 3 days up until Thursday. If you like it, if you decide to get it, and if you like it, then please spread the word, because that's kind of like, I really hope that it will take off because I think it's so powerful. So that's Tales of Courage. Now, let's get into our topic. Basically, this again applies if you've been thinking like, how do I stop this thing I've been doing to sleep? And the two examples I'm going to look at, but there may be many more, but the two specific examples that are so common is like, how do I wean off this pill? A very common one. And also, how do I sleep in my own bed again? And now, to answer this in a meaningful way, helpful way, first of all, of course, nothing is a medical device when it comes to prescription medications. Always talk to your doctor. This is just general teaching here. But yeah, the three things are, firstly, we need to understand delegation. I think that's really, really, that's foundational. And to understand that our inner conflict is the struggle, which I already alluded to. And then in session number three, we're going to make a decision. And for those of you who've been waiting patiently the whole weekend for, what does WIDIF stand for? We're going to talk about that. I had a little preamble to today's episode, Friday. All right. So understand delegation. All right. So first of all, let's take a look at the first principle of NATO, which is this one: peace of mind and peaceful sleep are effortless. That's really the basis of all our teaching, that we cannot force ourselves to feel calm or to feel at peace, have peace of mind. That just cannot be forced. Same thing with peaceful sleep. It's just something that we cannot force ourselves to sleep well, because it really is, a reflection of our emotional state, of peace of mind, really. So in other words, sleeping well and feeling well cannot come from force. Nothing can make us sleep well. The point here is that, like, in other words, nothing can make us sleep well. Sometimes someone says, I slept really well last night, but it was only because I was so exhausted. And of course, if we're really kind of sleep deprived, we have a strong sleep drive, that makes sleep more likely to happen. But somebody who's really, really sleepy, but still super scared and still like wondering how they can sleep and what's going to happen, that person will not sleep well. They will not feel like, oh, that was nice, that was peaceful, that was refreshing, So when we sleep well, that really comes from the lack of effort. Nothing can make us sleep well. Now, I already talked about one common kind of objection, like, what if I was just super tired? Other common objections is like, but sometimes the pill seems to work. Sometimes I take it and I sleep really, really well. Or I do sleep well, actually, nowadays. I sleep on the couch and I sleep really well there. So it doesn't mean that the pill slash couch actually makes me sleep well. Now, here's the thing. This, is, of course, gets to the key here, the heart of the topic of delegation. Imagine, for example, what we think or what we may think when we take a pill. You know, we take this pill, whatever it is, put it in our mouth, and at the same moment, we think, oh, that's nice. This will take care of sleep for me. I don't have to do anything now. This is taken care of. That thought, if you believe that thought fully, right? Sleep is taken care of. I don't have to do anything. Where does that lead us? Does that take us to a place of more or less effort? Okay, think about it for a second. It actually leads to zero effort. If we think sleep is completely taken care of, I don't have to do anything, we're actually at a place of zero effort, because the presumed work, the presumed things we have to do to make sleep happen, that has been delegated. It has been delegated. And that takes us back to the first principle. Peace of mind and peace of sleep are effortless. So we can see here that the magic is in this delegation. It's the delegation of presumed work that leads us to sleeping well, having peaceful sleep. The magic is not in a particular chemical or substance, you know. It's not. It's also not in the fabric of a particular couch. The magic is in the delegation. And the reason I feel like whenever I have a client that wants to wean off something or wants to sleep, you know, not sleep on the couch anymore, I always start with delegation, because when we see that, aha, there's nothing special about this substance or this, you know, this couch, that automatically can take so much effort away, because we see that all the episodes of sleeping well that we've had, that all come from within. That all came from within, from us like not trying, from, you know, from the magic inside us. So that, I think, is the first step, understanding that, understanding delegation. Now that we've taken that one, we're ready for the second one, which is understanding that our inner conflict is the struggle. And I like to just start this one here. Imagine kind of like, you know, the world where, I don't know, 10 billion people in the world. So I don't, the thing I want to share here, I don't have any like scientific backing for this, but I believe this is most likely very true. Millions sleep while taking a sleeping pill of some sort of supplement or a prescription drug or something like that, right? I'm sure there are millions of people out there who take something and sleep well, right? And I'm sure there's, this one is definitely true. There are millions of people out there who sleep well not taking a pill. So we can see that sleeping well can happen in both circumstances, right? Taking something or not taking something, sleeping on a couch or sleeping on the, you know, both can be very, very true. And this is because in these, it's the two examples here of millions of people sleeping well taking a pill, millions sleeping well not taking a pill, it is actually because there is no conflict. The people we imagine here are not conflicted. They're not conflicted. They don't judge themselves for sleeping on a couch or an extra bed. They don't judge themselves for taking a sleep aid or sleeping pill. So there's no conflict. The conflict that happens is often, on one hand, we all want to sleep well, right? All humans want to sleep well, have peaceful sleep, right? And a lot of us also, like, we don't want to take a pill. We want to sleep in our own bed. And when it seems like I can't have both, then we are in this inner conflict. You know, we're like, we're going to be wondering what's, you know, we're going to be thinking like, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I stop this? You know, why do I need this and other people don't? Why am I still taking this if you never don't this? Why can't I sleep next to my partner? Things of that nature are just illustrating this inner friction, inner conflict. Like, and that conflict gives rise to, like, you know, frustrations, resentment, anger, like all these emotions that are not, you know, are the opposite of peaceful sleep or the opposite of peace of mind, you know? So we can see that, again, it is this conflict that creates struggle. But without that conflict, we could be sleeping well with or without being on the couch, with or without taking a pill, etc., right? And somebody taught me, it was actually Betul, our coach in training, who taught me that this also can be expressed as a cognitive dissonance, where we're like, we're thinking of ourselves, I'm not the type of person who takes a sleeping pill, yet I am doing it, you know. Then we have this inner conflict again, which is known also as cognitive dissonance, by the way. All right, now when we see this, we see that, aha, okay, this conflict is really, you know, what keeps the struggle going, then we also see that it can be resolved in two ways. Either we can change how we think about the situation. We can change how we think about taking a pill, how we think about sleeping on a couch or an extra bed, or we can change what we do, right? We can not take anything and we can sleep where we want to sleep. Then there's also, in both cases, there is no more conflict. And this is where things kind of fork out, you know, it forks out into kind of two paths. And I call them the path of courage and the path of kindness. And so the path of courage is changing our behavior, you know, whether it is like stopping to take a supplement or weaning off a medication, something like that. We're actually stopping the behavior. We're stopping the behavior that we thought made us safe. And this is why it requires some courage, you know. But, you know, when we do that, when we're no longer doing a thing that we thought made us safe, then we have this opportunity to teach the brain that there is actually no threat. There's actually nothing we need to keep ourselves safe from, because being awake is actually not a threat. It's not dangerous. So this is the path of courage, and it can be helpful for these reasons. On the other hand, we have the path of kindness, and we can see that, you know, the behavior that we thought made us safe, you know, that just came from self-preservation. That just came from ourselves wanting ourselves to be safe and be sound and be well, you know. And we can just see that maybe this isn't the time to change things. Maybe we don't need to rush things, because we cannot pressure ourselves to be courageous. You know, courage also cannot be forced. That's just like if you go like, I have to change this now. I don't want this conflict. This must happen now. Then there's too much pressure, and that's going to lead to struggle. So the path of kindness can often be really, really helpful. And it can sound like, okay, well, I clicked on this video because I wanted to change things. Well, as odd as it may sound, when we are no longer, when we no longer have like a time, you know, a specific timeline, or this has to change this time, but we go like, this is the way things are now. And while I'm continuing to take this pill or sleeping on the couch, I can do a lot of inner work. I can learn. I can be kind to myself. And actually, you know, making that behavior change that we want to do, it happens sooner and easier when it's not pressured. So the path of kindness, just as helpful as the path of courage, you know? Now, naturally, when there's kind of like this bifurcation here, the two paths, there can be questions like, which one is best? Which one is best for me? And also specifics like, okay, if I want to change this pill I'm taking, how many milligrams? How much should I go down each week? You know, should I do 1 week on, 1 week off, 1 day, etc.? How fast should I go? And to me, the teaching point here is actually to see that there isn't an ideal way. When we think like there is one perfect way and I have to find the perfect way, that creates pressure, performance anxiety, and we're always going to be second guessing ourselves. But when we can see that these things are unpredictable, there is no perfect way. The more kind we are with ourselves, the more gentle we are, the easier things get. So I think really find like using that inner compass and kind of seeing that that can guide us, and we can change, we can feel like we can get a sense of like, I think this is probably doable for me. I think this is my path. Then we can follow that inner compass with the knowledge that there is no ideal way. There is no perfect way. So yeah, that leads us to our third, you know, the third and final step here, which is to make a decision, you know. And I highlight the word decision because of the following. So many clients, followers I see are, you know, don't come off a sleeping pill because they tried coming off a sleeping pill. I'm going to say that again, just for dramatic effect. Like a lot of people that I worked with, they didn't come off a pill initially because they tried coming off a pill. And what I mean by that is that when I use the word try, I mean that they looked at this as an experiment. They looked at it as an experiment. They were like, okay, I'm going to try to half the dose of this, and I'm going to see if that works, and see if I still can sleep. And as you can almost, you know, you can almost sense, just as I'm saying this, is that the moment we go, let me see if this works, we're already self-monitoring. We're already wandering, pondering, measuring times, you know, and evaluating our decision, because we're looking at it as a trial or as an experiment. So it's very tricky looking at things as an experiment. It almost always leads to like, okay, it didn't work, but I'm going to keep going. Oh, it still didn't work. And I'm going to finally, like a couple of days later, we're like, oh no, I'm going back to what I did before. This clearly doesn't work for me. And then we don't see that what created the struggle that led us back to sleeping on the couch or back to taking the full amount of the pill or something like that wasn't that we changed our behavior, but rather we looked at it as an experiment. You know, the self-monitoring led to that. So I think it's really helpful, whatever we do, to look at it as not a trial or an experiment, but as a decision. This is the path I've chosen, right? Make a decision and stick to it. Now, when I say this, this sounds familiar to you, like make a decision and stick to it. Haven't I heard that before? Well, if you are, you know, if you follow every video here and you're, you know, if you saw the video from Friday, then you know that what I'm talking about is a maposti, make a plan. I realized in this moment that I didn't say make a plan. I said make a decision. But anyway, make a plan and stick to it. Make a plan and stick to it. An analogy that came to us from someone in community here named Andrew. And so, yeah, I think this is really, really so helpful. Make a decision. And now I did it again. Make a plan. Okay, I'm just going to take that out. Make a plan and stick to it is maposti. And, you know, when we've come to this point and we've decided, seen that, okay, this, for me, I think at this moment, you know, following the path of courage is right for me. I'm just going to go to bed next to my partner or in my own bed. And that's my decision. That's my plan, right? When we come here, there's kind of one more thing we need to take, you know, take note of. And this is this, whatever we choose, we may stray from the idea, stray from our plan, stray from our decision. We may actually take that pill that we didn't want to take, or we go back to the couch, or we've chosen the path of kindness, but we still criticize ourselves, right? And where this leads is that maposti, making a plan and sticking to it, it calls for something else. It truly, truly calls for what I call wide if. And if you pondered this over the weekend, what this can mean, it is when you don't, it's fine. When you don't, it's fine. So make a plan and stick to it. That's, I think, is so helpful. But on the same token, sometimes we don't. And when you don't, it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't call for any self-criticism. It just calls for us seeing that this is common humanity. We are all like that. And when we're not criticizing ourselves for that time we took a pill or we went back to the couch or something like that, it actually makes it much easier to stick to our maposti plan, you know? So yeah, that concludes it. Those are the three steps that I hope you will find really, really helpful. And if you are, you know, finding everything you need on this channel to arrive at a place where peace is sleepful, you have peace of mind, and you're living the life you want to live, that is amazing. Please share it with us. That said, if you find things are a bit tricky, you're not quite seeing what you want to see, then please head over to our website, thesleepcureschool.com, and check out our coaching options. We have plenty of programs that I think could suit you very well. And if you decide to join, we look forward to seeing you on the inside. So with that said, hope you have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you back tomorrow. And until then, stay out of trouble.